Hello, and thank you for tuning in once again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Washoe Word. We sure hope these verse-by-verse Bible teachings are blessing you. If they are, come on by the Washoe Word, let us know. It's always good to get encouragement. You can hear these messages here on WMCH Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. You can come to the Washoe Word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We play these messages on a loop. All you got to do is come anywhere near the building. We're located on Highway 11W in Church Hill in the Powell Shopping Center. And if you just come anywhere near the building 24/7, tune to 107.1 FM. We play all these messages on a loop, and they change out each week. Also, come to Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m. I do my live verse-by-verse Bible teaching there. And finally, if you have any other questions about the business or about the ministry, simply go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out about the business, find out about the ministry, and of course, download and listen to all of our archive messages for free. All right, let's get back into the resurrection of the dead. This is the subject matter Paul is dealing with in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he's using these scriptures to combat the inevitable moments of our Christian walk where we come under fire with doubt. You know, we doubt whether this is real. Sometimes we doubt our faith. Sometimes we might even doubt whether we're going to be, you know, resurrected. If there's a life after death, is there a hell? Is there a God? I mean, all of these things were subject to being attacked. And Paul gives the greatest weapon against these attacks, and I hope you can remember this, that when those attacks come, those attacks on faith, think immediately of the resurrection. And Christ's resurrection, as we discussed a couple of messages ago, is undoubted. And we know this based on the amount of people who saw him after he was resurrected. It would be impossible to get that many people to lie and say the same exact thing. We talked about it, that even the courts say that only 2 or 3 witnesses are needed to find a person guilty. Jesus had over 500 witnesses proving he resurrected. So those doubts are combated simply by reflecting on the resurrection. And we're also told in the scripture that if Christ has been resurrected, so too shall we, that for we share in his resurrection. And that's where he left off in verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's saying, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. But we already know Christ has been raised. So he picks it up in verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Whew, this is strong words. Verse 18, and then those also who have died in Christ are lost. And if only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are to be pitied more than all men. Well, let's stop right there, because that is that's a slap in the face in terms of a wake-up call. You know, if this is why I was telling you that the greatest weapon against doubt is the resurrection. Without the resurrection, every single thing that we do, as Paul just described to us, is in vain, is useless. Your faith, your works, your hope, everything you do is useless and worthless, and you and I as Christians, if Christ has not been resurrected, should be pitied more than any other people in the entire world. How important is the resurrection? It is the most important thing. Everything about your faith and your life hinges on the resurrection. So let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered what this world or what this life would have been like if Jesus did not resurrect? Well, we don't really have to wonder, because Paul gives us a little bit of understanding. He enlightens us a little bit here on what life or this world would be like if Jesus did not resurrect. And the first thing he says, backed up in verses 14 and verses 17, if Jesus did not resurrect, then preaching would be useless. And I know that some of you probably think that the stuff I say is pretty useless. Without Christ's resurrection, believe me, everything I said would be useless. But all of the messages that have been preached, all of the books that have been written in a spiritual back from a spiritual background, all of the sermons you've seen on TVs, all of it, a waste of your time. And for some of you, that would be a lot of time wasted, wouldn't it? Yes, we would still have the life and the teachings of Jesus, but without the resurrection, that is all that we would have. Just the life and the example and the teaching example, which are great. We learn a lot from his life. We learn a lot about how to live from his teachings. But without the resurrections, all that you have is a bunch of teachings. How about this for a bold statement? You listening? The life and teaching of Jesus, listen, is insufficient. I'm going to say that again. The life and the teachings of Jesus is insufficient for Christianity. That's not enough for Christianity to have just the life and the teachings of Jesus. It's insufficient. The life and the teachings of Jesus would be sufficient for Buddhism or for Islam or for Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or Moonies or Krishnas or Hindus or New Age or Wicca or secularism, all of it. It would be sufficient, but not for Christianity. The only thing sufficient for Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because without it, all preaching, all teaching, all life examples that we got from Jesus would be useless without the resurrection. So that's the first thing Paul says. He says, if Jesus did not resurrect, our preaching would be useless. Second thing he says, if Jesus did not resurrect, faith would be futile. Futile. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Verse 14. And so our faith would be futile. That means church, fellowship, prayer, hope, anticipation of a better time or a better place. All of it, useless, futile, a waste of time without the resurrection. This is why it's such an important event in the history of the entire world. Thirdly, not only if Jesus did not resurrect would our preaching be useless, not only would our faith be futile, he says we would be liars, liars. Verse 15, more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, and then found to be, for we have testified about God, and then found to be false witnesses about God. So we would be considered liars. You know what that means? That means literally billions of people in the last 2,000 years would be labeled as liars. And we all know that the Bible says that liars will not go to heaven. So then we would be guilty of misrepresenting God's word and God's heart. That's blasphemy. That's lying. And we'd be hard-pressed to find a worse sin than to misrepresent God's word. Yet, it's being done all the time. That's a whole other sermon. I think it's one of the worst sins imaginable, misrepresenting the word of God. Being hypocrites, deceivers, leading countless multitudes into the darkness of hell. It's happening right now. Fourthly, not only if Jesus did not resurrect would our preaching be useless, our faith be futile, we would be liars, but we would still be in our sins. We see this in verse 17. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. This is probably the worst consequence of them all. And if you believe everything about God and about Jesus and about Christianity, but you deny the resurrection, you're going to find yourself standing before judgment one day with absolutely no grounds for your pardon. Well, didn't Jesus die for my sins? And didn't I say I believed in that? Well, sure, they're going to say. But without the belief in the resurrection, you never closed the deal. It'd be like tilling perfect soil, fertilizing it, carrying it, pruning and nurturing. And then when the fruit ripened, all you did was let it fall on the ground and rot. So we would still be in our sins. Fifthly, if Christ did not resurrect, the family reunion would be canceled. We see this in verse 18. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ would be lost. You know, one of the greatest comforts to the death of a loved one is knowing that we're going to see them again, isn't it? Or at least the chance and the offer to make that reality exist. We can't guarantee to see them again unless they also have received Christ and believe in the resurrection. But just the idea that it's there, the offer, the chance to see them again, to have that great family reunion, it exists. And I take great comfort knowing that I will see Joe Manona and Mary Manona and Martha Malazzi and Vito Malazzi and Esther Campisi, all of these family members whom I've loved. I'm going to get to see them one day because they have gone on before me. But without the resurrection, there would be no hope, nothing but despair. And so, if Jesus did not resurrect, Paul says our preaching would be useless, our faith would be futile, we would be liars, we would still be in our sins, the family reunion would be canceled, and lastly, this life would be devoid of fulfillment. We see this in verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. He's saying that without the resurrection, all we have is hope in this life. And if all we have is hope in this life, we should be pitied more than anybody. This life would be devoid of fulfillment. But as it is, we hope for nothing. We want for nothing. We are fulfilled in Christ. But if that wasn't there, again, pitied over all people. So our preaching without Jesus' resurrection, our preaching would be in vain. Our faith would be empty. The apostles and us would be made out to be liars. Our sin would still remain unatoned for. And the death that has triumphed over our loved ones would remain that way. And of course, life itself would be utterly miserable. But guess what, friends? We don't even have to entertain any of those things. Why did I bring them up? Why did I spend the last 15 minutes talking about the results of what it would be like if Jesus did not resurrect? Well, mainly because when you do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, you take what's given to you. And since Paul spent all those verses reflecting on what life would be like without the resurrection, well, so did we. And I think now, looking back, we could say, thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection. Because without it, our preaching would be useless. Our faith would be futile. We would be made out to be liars. We would still be in our sins. The family reunion that we look so forward to would be canceled. And life would be devoid of fulfillment. But as it is, none of that matters. Why? Because the reality is, Christ did resurrect. And because he did, you and I have a hope and a future. And I, for one, long for the day that I can see him face to face, when I will be known fully and I will know fully, when I will be like him in his glory. You know, we talked a message or two ago about reflecting on the resurrection as a way to combat doubt. The resurrection is a reflective point that combats just about everything when you really boil it down. Because there is nothing in this life that we could face. Our light and momentary troubles, they pale in comparison to the eternal glory that awaits us. Well, that's it for today. Once again, we invite you to Sunday night verse-by-verse Bible teaching at Abundant Life Fellowship at 6 p.m. That's 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Hope to see you there. Otherwise, come by the Washing Word. Have a blessed day.